Music for Maniacs.
That's true. That is
Did you put
Jackson.
That one together?
No, that is the great...
Where we feature the sport of competitive cycling, and we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. I'm Brad House, and this is killradio.org, internet radio. You can call into the radio station here at 213-252-0998. Today, we've got in the studio promoter of the San Dimas Stage Race, Al Wiskowicz, and we'll be going to him later after we cover some race results in the local SoCal area. February 27th, the Lava Winter Series continue. That's track racing at the Velodrome, lavelodrome.org. In the category A Omnium, Danny Healy picking up first place from South Bay Wheelman. Felt Racing's David Cosso, second place, and Amgen Giant picking up third, John Walsh. The category B results in third place, Hawk Relay Cycling, Dina Eaton, UC Irvine Cycling, Marcos Corona, and your winner in the category B's, Major Motions, Mike Davis. That's the Lava Winter Series, lavelodrome.org. The Kenda Cup Dirt races open up. Kenda Cup West, that was March 1st in Benelli Park. The Pro Man's third place winner, Andy Schultz. He's out of Missoula, Montana, running for Kenda Tomac Hayes. In second place, Scheller Specialized, Sam Yurkovic from Colorado Springs. And your winner, also from Scheller Specialized, South Pasadena's Sid Taberly. Pro women at the Kenda Cup West, we had Amgen rider Natasha Herndae from Ventura, third place. Scheller Specialized racer Melanie McQuaid in second. And from Madison, Krista Park picking up the win in the Pro Women. That's the Kenda Cup West dirt bike racing. USCup.net for full results on that. That's USCup.net. Criterion Racing in Ontario, February 22nd. There to race. Men's Pro third place, Rock Racing's Justin Williams. Second place going to Rock Racing, Sterling Magnol, and your winner from Major Motion, Rasan Bahati. In the women's race, the Dare to Race Ontario, third place, Now in This Society, Kendall Ryan. In second place, Helens Cannondale, Pam Schuster. And your winner from Leaderbike Canary, Catherine Fiedler Cook. Now, we also had a chance to go out to Santa Barbara, and the Island View Classic Criterion was held out there at the Santa Barbara Goleta Research Park. We've got some sounds from that race right here.
Thank you.
as they...
That was the Island View Classic again in Santa Barbara, promoted by UCSB Cycling. In the men's pro category, the third place winner was Now MS Peter Penny. In second place, Rock Racing's Danny Finneran. And your winner, UCI team, the Bissell Pro Cycling Team, Cody O'Reilly, picking up the win there. The Island View Classic was also host to UCSB's collegiate categories as well, collegiate racing going on. The Isla Vista Classic third place collegiate women's winner from UCLA was Courtney O'Donnell. In second place from Stanford, Katie Keenan. And your winner from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, Jenna Kowalski. That's the collegiate women's A. In the collegiate men, UC Irvine, Philip Son picked up third place. Second place went to Cal Poly SLO's Blake Anton. And your winner, local guy from UC Santa Barbara, Nick Martinez. Nick Martinez. All right, upcoming events coming up on March 14th and 15th. We've got an Omnium race in Southern California, the Tour of Murrieta. Tour of Murrieta. Full details on that can be found at scnca.org. On March 20th through the 22nd, the San Dimas Stage Race in San Dimas, scvelo.com. That's S-C-V-E-L-O, scvelo.com for all details on that race. And we'll be talking with the promoter on the San Dimas Stage Race shortly. March 26th, the Redlands Stage Classic takes place in Redlands. This is a national race calendar event with top teams from all over the nation, the Redlands Classic. Check out scnca.org for details on the Redlands Classic Stage Race. On March 29th, the Masters Cycle League continues with the LA Circuit Race. The LA Circuit Race is held near Los Angeles International Airport on a 4-mile loop. The LA Circuit Race full details can be viewed at backontrackproductions.com. March 27th, the Friday Night Lava Series. That's the LA Velodrome Racing Association track racing on an indoor board track at Cal State Dominguez Hills. Now, this is an awesome sport to watch if you're a spectator. The track is 250 meters long. You can see everything unfold before your eyes. All the tactics are right there. And there's great seating, fantastic seating. The Lava Friday Night Series at the Velodrome. Visit LAVelodrome.org for details on that. Also, March 21st and 22nd, the Shimano Winter Series presented by Subaru continues at Fontana. This is for dirt bike racing, cross-country, downhill, four-cross, and Super D. Good chance to see some top riders out there, including Brian Lopes. He's a pretty regular rider out there. Saturday's features will be the cross-country and downhill and four-cross, and Super D, I believe, is on Sunday. Full details on that can be seen at SouthridgeUSA.com. March 20th and March 29th, the Kinda Cup West continues as well. Kinda Cup is a U.S. Cup. There's an East and a West version. The West version has six dates, actually. The first one held at Benelli Park in San Dimas on March 1st. The next one's coming up in Fontana, March 28th and 29th. That's presented by Specialized, the Kenda Cup West. And we've also got SoCal High School Mountain Bike Racing going on as well. Last weekend, the SoCal League had their opening race in Temecula, and we had some really good fields out there. It was put on by Jason Renoa, and he runs some 12-hour races in Temecula in conjunction with the NorCal and SoCal leagues. The course was a combination of single track and fire road, about 350 feet of climbing per lap, and it was about a 5-mile lap with all the categories at the high school level. Frosh Soft races together, then JV boys and girls, and then varsity boys and varsity girls. And this is a fantastic league. Check out SoCal Dirt for information on that, socaldirt.org. All right, we were hoping to have Matt Gunner, who's on the board of SoCal Dirt, call in to talk shortly about the high school mountain bike leagues. I don't hear our phone ringing though, so no Matt, I guess, for now. Maybe he'll call in a little while. And on to our next feature. We've got today in the studio, we've got Al Liskovich. He's the promoter of the Sandina Stage Race. And let me bring up his mic here. How you doing, Al?
I'm good. Good to be here. Thank you for inviting us here.
Get a little closer to the mic there.
Can you hear me now?
Nope. Still not hearing you.
How about now?
Nope.
Try it again.
Testing, 1, 2. Here, try this one.
Technical glitch, maybe?
There you go. That sounds better.
That better?
Yeah. Leave it to me to hand him a dead mic. Sorry about that, Al. Thanks for coming out here anyways today and all the way out here fighting the LA traffic to our studio downtown. Sandina Stage Race. This is a multi-day stage race. A little bit like the pros. You've got all kinds of amateur categories there. Just about anybody can race this. Beginners, men, women, masters, and everything. Tell us a little bit about the race. Maybe tell us who you are and a little bit about the stages coming up.
Well, again, my name's Al Liskovich. I'm with SC Velo Cycling Club. We kind of put this race together every year as our primary fundraiser for our club. This is how we pay for racing, to get people out. So it's been a great event. This event originally started back in 2000 by our now founding father, by a fellow named Rick Thomas, who had this vision about stage racing. He had this personal thing about not wanting to just race in circles, so he decided it was time to put on a 3-day staged event. And he took it from there, and he was challenged with all kinds of issues, you know, permits, timing, all kinds of things. But you know, he said, "We're going to do this," and so be it. We did it.
Yeah, back in the year 2000, just about all we had in Southern California was Criteriums, which is a real small, closed industrial park course where you go around circles. Great for spectators, you know, but the riders who really wanted to do more demanded a little bit more. So how difficult was it to get road closures and stuff back then?
It was extremely difficult. In fact, I think the first year Rick put this together, he did it without permits. He just couldn't get the permits. He tried and tried, and he says, "Well, we're going to put on an event, so we'll go ahead and just we'll go with that." So, again, you know, anytime anybody puts an event together, it's a challenge in itself. But when you start looking at multiple day events, you're really challenged. You take our event, we need 10 different permits just to pull it off for 3 days.
Right, and you probably need 10 different crews to get through all the permits, because the first person on the first day isn't going to work all 3 days.
Well,
bags under the eyes and tired.
I got to tell you, what makes our event special is that we've got this great club that are completely committed to cycling. And you take the people in our club who are just like you and me, go out and work every day, normal jobs, and then come home and have to train. It takes 358... volunteers to make this thing happen, and we're a club of about 125 people, so where do we draw that from? So we got people taking on multiple positions and the multiple
tasks.
About
the club,
the club itself is primarily SC Velo. The club itself is a started as a road racing team and then expanded into mountain biking. So we've got a great mountain bike program right now. We're dabbling in the track. We've got a great junior program. We've got an elite program right now that we think can match up with anybody at the moment. We've got some great riders that we just picked up. If I could touch on that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our elite program this year is going to be built around
SCVelo.com. SCVelo.com.
Right. But our elite team this year is built around a couple of riders. Kyle Gritters, who was with HealthNet last year. Jeremiah Liskovich, who was with Rock Racing also last year. We got Josh Webster, a great rider. Horsey, another great rider. Just a lot of talent on the
Horsey.
Team this year.
Steve Horsemeyer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know him, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a pro. He's an idiot.
Jeremy, what's your relationship with Jeremy? He's dad.
Well, I'm his dad. I'm his dad.
Teach your one thing a little bit. Let's hear about Jeremy.
Well, Jeremiah, you know, he's actually a BMX background. That's where he started his
BMX.
Yeah, BMX. And he crossed over from there and came over to road cycling and he's kind of never looked back. So he's
did he ever do any cyclocross?
No, he hasn't. He's not done any cyclocross. He's done a lot of mountain biking.
There's a lot of BMX riders. Sometimes they cross over into cyclocross, too.
Right. I'm sure at some point he'll do that. That's, you know, something he's probably looking at, but at the moment he's focused on going back to college, which he's in now, and he's taking some time off from the pro ranks, and he's going to race for the club and give us what he can. So we're excited to have him back.
Very cool. Very cool. SC Velo. All right, so who conceived of the race actually years ago, and tell us a little bit about the very beginning. You're a current owner of the race.
Well, that's kind of ambiguous. You know, current owner would be SC Velo.
Okay.
I'm the race director.
Okay.
You know, we're a club that is committed to putting on a great 3-day stage race. In my opinion, we are second to none. This is a great event. We're able to bring so many racers from all around the community to a 3-day event that's not done in an industrial park. I mean, that's one of the beautiful aspects about our event. Race around the lake, got the beautiful mountains for a backdrop. We've got one of the finest time trial events in Southern California. We got everything that can challenge you. So, you know, if you're out there and you're looking for something that's going to drive you, we have it.
Yeah, this is the Benelli Park in San Dimas, Glendora Mountain area. It's actually really gorgeous out there this time of year. It's a perfect time of year to do it. The lake is awesome. And oftentimes you do have racing going on there with snow in the background in the mountains. It's
That's right. Exactly. If you looked, you know, the media people that come out to our event, like Cycling News last year, they did a wonderful job of giving us a lot of press, and the pictures they posted were incredible with those mountains covered in snow and the backdrop and the lake there. You know, that's just it makes you feel like you're racing in Europe.
Where can we find some photos of previous events?
You can go with several people. Troy Marr, he's .com. He's got a website that you can go to. He's helped us and sponsored our with sponsorship in terms of coming on board.
Troy Marr, could you spell that for us, Al?
I'll give it to you in a sec here. I got it right here. Hold on, let me get it.
Okay. Also, probably scvelo.com probably has a few photos on there and maybe some links as well.
Right. You can go onto our website. You can get it from there. As far as some of the pictures, we have gallery too. You can pick it up from there. Velo News has archives, and there's tons of pictures in there. You can get it from there too. So there's plenty of sources you can go to pull down pictures if you want to see anything about our event. But it's been around a long time. You know, we're now in our 10th year anniversary. That's why I wanted to be here. I wanted to share the word with everybody. We're celebrating 10 years of road racing, you know, staged event. So it's a good thing.
10 years, wow. So stage number one, that's held on Friday. Tell us a little bit about stage number one.
Stage number one is a time trial event. It's an individual event. You're racing the clock. And what you do from that point is you go up GMR, which is Glendora Mountain Road, known to the locals. You race 3.8 miles up. It's all uphill, switchbacks. And, you know, we've had officials who do our event come out and tell us that that's the Mini Alpe d'Huez. So that's a great compliment.
Mini Alpe d'Huez.
Yeah.
Stage one. All right. We'll get into stage two in a minute here. Let's shift gears here and shift back over to high school mountain bike racing. We've got
on the line right now, we've got Matt Gunnell. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, Brett. How are you?
All right. He's called in. He's one of the board members of SoCalDirt.org?
It's, yeah, SoCalDirt.org is the website, and the name is the SoCal Interscholastic Cycling League. We are a cross-country mountain bike racing high school-based cycling league.
Right. Okay, cool. So when did this start? This is the first year? Just started now? This was the first race? And tell us about the race that just happened.
Yeah, I'm also a coach of the Glendale Unified School District Composite Mountain Biking Club. We only got started about 6 weeks ago. This is the first race of the season. We just finished yesterday at Bale Lake Resort down in Temecula, where Jason Renoa puts on the 12-hour races. This is, like I said, the first year of the league. It's actually a spinoff of the NorCal High School Mountain Bike Racing League, which just started its ninth year. Last weekend, they had their first race. Over 400 racers showed up, all high school athletes.
Oh, wow. Now, they get high school credit for this, like PE?
No, they don't get high school credit for this. This is a club-based sport as opposed to a CIS-based sport.
I see.
It's definitely making inroads, and I know that up north, since it's been around and it's got so much respect, that several schools are actually authorizing letters to be worn for high school mountain biking, so it's definitely going in the right direction.
Excellent. Yeah, we'd like to see more of that. I wish that was around when I was in high school. I rode my bike to school, like, every day, and I was a freak, you know, because everybody else was being driven to school or driving their own cars, and, you know, I would have loved to have gotten high school credit, but...
that's kind of funny because, you're a little older than me, but too much, and what I hear from parents, you know, I have a 10-year-old. I guess you have a daughter, I think.
She's in college now.
In college. And so the parents that come to these races and the parents that come to these meetings are all pretty much our vintage. And all of them were like, wow, you know, I wish they had this when I was in school. I wish they had this when I was in school. So it's kind of a fulfillment of all of our childhood fantasies to actually race bikes for your high school.
Right. So there's Frosh Soft, they race together, and then there's JV, junior varsity, and then there's varsity, so there's three categories, and then I guess each of those are separated, men and women? Or?
Yeah, there's in SoCal currently, since it's the first year, we have Frosh Soft, 9th and 10th graders, boys racing together, and then girls racing together, and we have JV boys, JV girls, and then varsity boys, varsity girls. The direction that it's going up north, the fields are so big now, that they've actually got it separated into two divisions, Division 1 and Division 2. Division 1 are more of the bigger schools. I have it on good information that Sir Francis Drake, which is up in Marin County, they have more people on their high school mountain bike racing team than on their football team.
And that's what we like to hear at Kill Radio. We are alternative sports. I love it.
So they've actually got it broken down into even more divisions. So we're starting the year with six divisions, and all the schools are racing in the same division. So there's divisions, and then there's overall standings for the different schools.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Dang. Do you have results? Do you have any results you have to report at all you want to talk about? Or?
The official results will be published probably in the next year at SoCalDirt.org.
Okay, SoCalDirt.org.
Yeah, the results were done yesterday.
And how does that work? Does it go by teams? Do they score points for the teams?
Yeah, I can't tell you the exact breakdown, but since it is a co-ed sport, the team standings are based on a combination of top boy finishers and top girl finishers.
Okay.
So it definitely pays to have girls on your club. I know, you know, this year, again, first race, yesterday we had six girls racing in all three of the divisions.
Okay.
Not a lot. But last year, high school mountain biking up north, their biggest growth was in girls. Their girls' field doubled last year. So we're definitely looking to some expansion in the girls' ranks, and it'll definitely happen within the next year or two.
Right. Yeah, I have some at least one rider near and dear to my heart. He's actually in our USCF bike club.
Uh-huh.
And he rides for Peninsula High School. His name's Ricky Riddell. He was headed out there. I haven't talked to him yet. I don't know how he did. I don't know if you recognize that name or not. He's a
That name sounds really
good
familiar.
Rider. Yeah.
That name sounds really familiar. Do you know Grady then?
I believe 14 years old. 14 or 15.
So he's probably Frosh Soft age. One interesting thing, it starts out based on grade level. For example, if you're a 9th or 10th grader, by default, you start Frosh Soft. If you're an 11th or 12th grader, by default, you start JV.
Okay.
You have to actually petition or score results to upgrade to varsity.
Okay.
So the varsity fields were very small yesterday, and that's mainly because there was very few kids who are already experienced racers who decided to petition.
Right.
Which, you know, that actually is a good thing, because if you look at it, the number of inexperienced and brand new racers yesterday was enormous. For example, my club of 8 kids, none of them had ever done a bike race before. That was their first bike race ever.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
That is wonderful. And keep them at it. Keep up the good work, Matt. You're with Glendale Unified School District and your club. You're a coach or something. Tell us a little about your team and your school.
Yeah, I coach for Glendale Unified School District composite team. We decided to put together, instead of trying to form a bunch of different teams from the school district the first year out, We decided to open it up to anybody in the school district, so anybody who is in high school Glendale can be on our club. Now,
okay.
it turns out that everybody on the club is from CV Crescenta Valley High School. So, again, we have 8 kids. I'm the coach of the team. The league up north, they have a very, very, very strong tradition of coaching and program building. So they're trying to push for that down here, and that's definitely rolling forward. But for example, I went to a wilderness first aid for mountain biker 2-day course up in Marin County last fall.
Right.
And then in October in Big Bear, went to the first coaches conference ever for Southern California. So everybody who was interested in being a coach went up to that conference, spent 2 days in Big Bear, learned about the league, learned the philosophy, did some sample coaching, went through a new rider's clinic that they then turn around and teach to all their kids. So it's very, you know, you don't just say, hey, I'm going to be a coach and start a club. There's definitely some background that goes into building up the club and education.
Right. Wow. How about advocacy issues, trail access? I know our local club in our South Bay Area, Palos Verdes, we've got some issues. We have lost numerous trails, which have just downright been closed to everybody, really. And of the few that are left, half those were closed to bikes. I'm sure this is an ongoing issue. Do the teams or the schools or does the league have a active branch or encourage activism among the students?
You know, again, this year being the first year of the SoCal League, the philosophy is definitely getting involved. I know that a lot of the schools now require volunteer hours. So I know that's one of the things that we specifically are going to be involved in is trail maintenance and trail building, you know, with the kids so that they can see that, in fact, the trails don't just magically appear. They have to be built. They have to be maintained. They have to be lobbied for. And in turn, the kids can get some volunteer hours for that. We've also started, we've got a relationship, and when I say we, I mean the league, going with Corba, and we're going to probably start, you know, with more with Corba so that we can integrate the team, the club, the students, the parents, you know, everybody into the overall effort. And really, if you think about it, you know, again, these are kids living in the community. Most of them have never raced bikes, never even done too much trail riding. So it's really a great way to get in and access a whole bunch of new people who can then turn around and be proponents within their own communities for trail access and trail building.
Right, right. So, and you know, not only that, it's healthy, you know? Hello, how about those people out there playing video games or whatever? This is way healthier. It's a good, healthy, clean sport. You're outdoors, enjoying the outdoors and nature, and mountain bikers appreciate nature too, so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I this is the city down here, Southern California. I feel for the gnat catcher, but I feel for the kids too. You know, we need trails.
Yep, it's definitely a balance, and the club definitely has a policy of leave no trace. You know, we're definitely on board with that, and that's, you know, you go out and you train, you go out and race, you eat a gel, you bring the wrapper back.
Yeah, excellent.
And then also when you know the foundation instruction about braking. You know, it doesn't benefit anybody if, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 riders go skidding down the trail.
Right.
It makes them look bad and it degrades the trail. And so the just from the very first day of rider skills training, that is integrated into the way they think. Don't skid on the trail, obviously with some sort of a, you know, panic maneuver, but try to control your speed so that you're a good steward of the trail and so that when you come across people, you're a positive, you know, you're a positive ambassador for the sport.
Right.
So that's, again, that's instituted just right up front.
Excellent, excellent. And the next high school race coming up is when? And when?
Sunday, March 22nd at Warner Springs down in northern San Diego County, Warner Springs Hot Ranch. I'm sorry, Hot Springs Ranch. And then after that, I believe it's April 5th.
Where is that? Where is Warner Springs?
Warner Springs is in kind of northeastern San Diego County. It's past Temecula on 79, about 30 miles. So it's definitely out there. It's definitely going to be a drive for people, but they're a big proponent of cycling, and it should be a lot of fun.
Will there be Norbo categories too, or is it all high school only?
No, that's one thing about the league. It's not designed to be a follow-on to a pro race. It's designed from the ground up. The races, the courses are designed from the ground up to be high school friendly.
So
if you get a new ninth grade girl or boy rider with very limited experience, they can go out, be challenged, but be safe and want to come back.
Excellent.
We don't want to scare the kids away on the first race. We want them to be lifelong bikers.
Excellent. Okay. All right, very good. Wow, this is wonderful things that are happening, Matt. I love it. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, sure. If you have a high school student who's interested in mountain biking and they don't have a club in their area, they can race as an independent. So if you have somebody who's already racing, already riding, or simply already just simply mountain biking, have them go to SoCal Dirt, have them sign up as an independent, and come and enjoy the rest of the season with us.
Okay, cool. SoCalDirt.org. That's SoCalDirt.org. All right, thanks. Keep up the great work, Matt, and power to you.
Thank you very much for
having me. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks to Matt Gunnell. He's on the board of directors of SoCal Dirt. .org. High school mountain biking. It's happening in Southern California. Like you said, it's been going on in Northern Cal for a long, long time, for about 10 years. Just about as long as the San Dimas stage race has been going on. So, back to Al here. We were just discussing the stages. The first stage, time trial, it's on Friday, March 20th.
That's right, 20th.
The second stage is the next day. Tell us about that.
Yeah, day two is it's our road race. It's around Benelli Park. It's a pretty fast course, so your fitness needs to be there. There's no hiding. We got a part of the course there we call Cannon, and it's the leg breaker. I mean, that's where the pace gets pretty
cannon.
Hot and heavy.
That's where you launch your attack, or you become literally cannon fodder. Huh?
You become a victim.
How steep is that climb?
Profile wise, I'm not sure it would even measure up to maybe 600 feet or something like that. But it's such a short power climb that when guys are going to hit it, that's where they're going to get you. Mm. So they hit it there, and look out. So you better be ready.
So the road race is a large loop. You do multiple loops?
Yes, it's a 7-mile loop. Goes through part of the neighborhood, very, very nice, pristine neighborhood, which is part of Cannon. Then drops back down onto Puttystone Drive, which takes you along the lake and the airport. And then takes you around the famous Pomona drag strip, which is part of our county fairgrounds. And then takes you back into the park, and you go through Picnic Valley, which there's some challenges in there in itself. But overall, it's pleasant, it's fun, it's fast, and you will definitely come out of there feeling good about yourself if you can finish that.
Excellent. I'm Brad House. You're here with Bike Sport Radio. 213-252-0998. Again, that's 213-252-0998. And this is where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. We're chatting with Al Wiskovich, the promoter of the San Dimas Stage Race. It's coming up March 20th. It's a three-stage event. The road race, now the pro men's category, how many miles is their road race? How long is that total race for them?
The pro men will do 84 miles is what they'll end up doing.
Okay.
And that's a total of 12 laps around Benelli Park. That's a tough task in itself. These guys, we've done surveys with a lot of the racers, anywhere from the amateurs to the pros, and they actually come back asking for more miles. That's the one thing we get from just about everybody. But given the time constraints and the format in which we use, trying to provide racing for all levels, this is about all we can do at this point with our permits and all the issues that we face all the time.
Right, yeah, now we're not maybe cutting out one of the other categories.
That's right, that's right.
We don't want to do that because we've got some wonderful amateur-level categories, including beginners and intermediate levels.
That's
and,
right.
Men, women, juniors, do you have juniors out there too?
No, we don't, actually. Okay. What happens with most of the juniors that want to do it, they'll have to come in as a four, Category 4, or if they're Category 3. The only thing is they have to use junior gears. That's how the rules have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, USACycling.org. If you are a junior, meaning you're 18 and under, be sure you check USACycling.org and check out junior gear limits. You are limited to a highest gear of a 52 front, 14 back, I believe it is.
That's right. That's right.
You got 26 feet of rollout.
Yep, they got to do a rollout.
Check all the technical specs on that before you attempt to race
right.
juniors on the road. Okay, so the third stage and final stage comes on Sunday, that would be the 22nd. Beautiful downtown San Dimas?
Downtown San Dimas. It's a criterium. We call it a classic. It's actually done down Main Street, which is Bonita Avenue, and it goes through the neighborhood. It's got a little bit of a climb in it. Again, that's where you're going to see your action. A very, very fast race.
The criterium has a hill in it?
It's falls flat. Let's rule this back a little bit.
Okay.
I don't want to scare you off, Brad.
Okay. Those big boys like me. Okay. Yeah. It's a sprinter's hill. Okay. It's not really a hill climb. It's just a rolling hill. That's cool. Does it finish on the uphill? Or?
No, it doesn't. It finishes on a flat. You come off of Walnut into. It's a seven-corner course, so there's a lot of turns in this event. Very fast and a lot of fun, and you finish on a flat. You finish right in front of City Hall. Great for spectators. A lot of people come out, and what's made this event a classic is that a lot of the neighborhood people now are sitting on their front yards because the streets are closed and they're barbecuing and they're inviting people over and they're cheering on the event.
Fantastic.
And that's what this is all about. We're trying to get people involved. It's a great event.
Right. Yeah. Bikespo Radio will be there. We're going to bring a recorder. We're going to get some live footage and
that'd be great.
Definitely play that on the air.
That'd be great.
At the conclusion of your race, which I think is we're on the air, I think, on that Monday morning again. So we'll have full results if we can get them. Maybe we'll have a few race calls and get some recordings from the announcer, too, to play on Bike Sport Radio. Again, you're here with Bike Sport, killradio.org. I'm Brad House, 213-252-0998. Now, the downtown community businesses, they're probably loving it this year. With the economy and everything, you're telling them you're going to bring all these people into town that don't normally come into town. And where are they going to go to buy their stuff? Well, right there in downtown San Dimas, right? You got any good business supporters?
Yeah, actually
about?
We do. The local restaurants, like Red Robin. We've got Subway, Quiznos. We've got all the eateries that people need. We got all the pizza places, great hotels, great accommodations.
Pizza.
It's all there. It's all there.
Lisa's listening. She loves pizza.
You know what I didn't mention to you, in the final day, we have the kids race, which is for the community. It's free. Anybody in the community can bring their kids out as long as they have a helmet and a bike and register and sign a waiver. They're welcome to race for free. And this is, we look at this as an opportunity to promote cycling and also give the community something back because they're so gracious to allow us to come in and close the streets and take over the town for that day. So it's a wonderful event.
That's like, 10 and under, 12 and under, really young
kids? Yeah, exactly. Right? 10 and under. We'll have them as young as 4 years old out there with little tricycles and just going for it.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing, too, as well. I mean, I wish every race promoter would throw in a kids' race for those youth 12 and under. It just gets them all excited about it. It brings the community out and everything.
It's like watching a baseball family out there screaming and yelling on the side.
That's right. Little league bike racing.
That's right.
We're coming to get you, baseball, football, basketball.
That's right.
We're coming to get you. We are Bike Sport here. We're putting bike racing on the map. So in the past, how many, really top notable teams or athletes have you got under your belt that have competed in San Dimas?
Oh my gosh, that's a loaded question. Like, the list goes on and on.
Can we start with Lance?
You know, Lance is probably the only guy who hasn't done our event. Let me put that invite out there. Lance, you're welcome to come to our event anytime you want. But, you know, I mean, let's just go as of current. Last year we had Cameron Evans from Canada, which was riding for Symmetrics at the time. He's now with Ouch. He'll be coming back to defend his title. When Rock came last year, they came loaded with Bear. I mean, they had Tyler Hamilton, 2004 gold medalist, Oscar Sevilla, you know, great riders have come out to do our event.
Santiago Botero?
Santiago Botero didn't make out to our event. He did go out to Redlands the following week, but, you know, they had so many riders, they got to give some of the riders a chance to do it. But, you know, if Chris Horner's a past winner, Tom Danielson's past winner, you know, Heath Blackgrove, a past winner. These are all champions of the past. So, you know, Tinker Juarez was our first guy to ever set the time trial course
Tinker,
record.
The mountain biker, the road biker.
Exactly, mountain biker. So we've had an enormous following on our event. We've been very blessed to get some of the nice top caliber riders to come out and do our event. On the women's side, we've had Amber Neiman was our first year winner, and last year we had Alex Rhodes. She was the winner last year.
Yeah, so not national champion?
Yes.
Multi-time national champion.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. This year, you know, we've got some wonderful women coming to the event. We've got Tina Pick from Colavitas coming out. We've got High Road coming out again, you know, with their mob of high-powered women. Those girls, you know, they're amazing. But on the men's side, we're really excited about the field we have for this year. We've got Ouch. We've got BMC. We've got Colavita. We got V Australia that have come together with Successful Living, run under Steve Haig. And Ryan Yee, a couple of great guys. But, you know, it just goes on and on. And it's just an incredible event for 3 days. It's free to the public to come and watch it, which is one of my biggest pitches I make when I talk to the city people and all the surrounding businesses of the caliber riders that we bring in. So, you know, it just goes from there.
That's right. Bike racing, ladies and gentlemen, and all you listeners out there, it's always free. You can just go line the streets. It's held on public streets. We don't buy venues like football stadiums, baseball diamonds, or whatever, where you have to pay some fee to go watch. It's free for spectators. Just come on out and watch. San Dimas Stage Race, scvelo.com, the San Dimas Stage Race. And again, this is Bike Sport Radio. I'm Brad House, 213-252-0998. If you want to talk to Al Wiskovich, promoter of San Dimas Stage Race, I've got him in the studio today. And so from start to finish, you've got planning, then you've got permitting, you've got volunteer scheduling, course setup, course breakdown, race results, media. What kind of work is involved in that from start to finish? And, you know, we've got a few minutes left here. So.
Yeah, you know, if I can just sum it up in a nutshell, this is all club-driven. Our club is absolutely dedicated to putting on the best possible race in Southern California when you get into stage racing. And I believe we have the greatest race in Southern California when it comes to stage racing. 3-day event, I don't think there's a better one out there. But what drives this whole thing is the club. It's all club volunteers making this whole thing happen. We get some help from outside, but most of it is all club driven. We've got some fantastic volunteers. The club members bring their families, their aunts, their uncles, their fathers, their grandparents. Everybody comes out and participates. And I'll tell you what we tell all our volunteers. We'll guarantee you a T-shirt and a free lunch.
Hey, there you go. Not bad, not bad. Free T-shirt and lunch. Come out and volunteer. If you want to volunteer, scmelo.com, the San Dimas Stage Race. Are there any specific race beneficiaries, nonprofits that help out or that you want to mention or support?
Well, yeah, you know, we have a lot of beneficiaries, but, you know, what I really like to throw some props out to are the people that have been with us for so long and keep coming back year after year. InCycle Bike Stores, they have 3 stores, one in Pasadena, San Dimas, and Chino. They've done a great job over the years supporting the club, supporting this event. Cannondale Bikes, big props to Mark Ray. This is a guy that just bends over backwards to support our club, supports us with our bikes for our elite riders and the club members and everybody else. You know, we got San Dimas Hospital. They've been big for us. We've got Glendora Chevrolet, who sponsors the time trial event. It just, the list goes on and on. The local eateries such as Red Robin and Subway and all the different places that I mentioned a moment ago. But you know, we're really well supported. We've got a great group of people. The city of San Dimas, they do so much to support us. You know, they make this very easy for us. You know, they obviously want to make sure it's a safe event. Traffic control is a big thing because we're closing streets, but they support us tremendously. They like it. They want to see it there. So that's a big thing for us. But you know, if I could just again reiterate that, you know, without our club, this event wouldn't happen. And the fact that we're all cyclists, we know what it takes to put on a great event. And that's why we do it year after year, and we do it right. But this year, if I could just say, this is our 10th year anniversary. We're going to be honoring our past race directors, Rick Thomas being our founding father, and then Paul Hughes, and then Tony Leckie. These are the three guys that have been very instrumental over the years in leading us and giving us guidance and direction with the different things that they wanted over the years. So we're bringing them back this year, and we're going to honor them.
Okay, very good. And where do you sign up to compete? Once again,
If you are looking to get an event, a lot of the categories are closed, but we are still looking to fill the masters and the women's side. You can go to bikereg.com. You can go through there, or you can go to our website scvelo.com and pick up registration form there and get it in. Registration does close on the 15th, so if you're looking to mail that in, you better do it pretty quick. But you can go to bikereg.com and get on there if you're looking to get into the event.
Okay, bikereg.com. All right, thank you, Al. Appreciate you coming in the studio today. And we've got a couple of minutes left here, a couple of driver tips and cyclist tips we always give at the end of our show at Bike Sport Radio here. Cyclists, when you're out there, act like a motorist. Ride predictably. Use your left turn signals. Use your left hand. Merge into traffic when you have to. And if you act like a motorist, you will be treated like a motorist. Motorists love it when you're predictable. So this is a cyclist tip. This time, drivers, we always give you tips. So we're going to go easy on you. Just give us a little break out there when you drive. The streets are our venues. We have no place else to train. And that next cyclist out there that you see just might have been your boss. You just never know. I'm Brad House with Bike Sport Radio. Thanks, Al. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.